Hello everyone, welcome back. My name is Arna Sahu, host of Arna's News, where on this podcast channel, I aim to eliminate the gender gap in the STEM fields by featuring inspiring female professionals and highlighting their stories and accomplishments to further encourage girls. Today on episode 73.
Like, there's a lot of like mental hurdles that you have to go through of like things of like, is this like the right idea for what I'm like, is this the right idea? Am I being stupid? I think every startup founder has also encountered a lot of no's and like rejections or like not interested. And I would tell my younger self that those rejections and those hurdles are gonna hurt a lot. And they're gonna make you feel really discouraged and very sad. But it's always like, but if you are fully convicted in what you're doing and you know that it's impacting real people in ways that are super like important and significant, then all of those rejections and hurdles and challenges and like losses are totally worth it.
Today on episode 73, I'm pleased to announce our guest, Mary Zhu. As a founder at Develop for Good, a 501c3 nonprofit that supports teams of diverse college students as they work on tech projects under professional mentors for other nonprofits with clients of UNICEF, the World Health Organization, World Bank, Ronald McDonald House Charities, and their 1,900 plus students and mentors have accumulated over 130,000 volunteer hours, with 80% of their students as underserved or underrepresented in tech. Mary graduated from Stanford in 2021 and is a current speaker at TEDx Stanford conferences and also a peer garage fellow of a community for 25 top entrepreneurial engineering students at Stanford. So thank you so much, Mary, for being here today. Before we dive into the questions, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I guess I'm the head of Develop for Good, which does everything that you wonderfully summarized. And I'm based out of San Francisco, California now, but grew up in New Hampshire. I'm very passionate about, helping students that are interested in enhancing their skills through real world impact, and also helping nonprofits that are interested in magnifying their impact through technology. So thank you so much for having me on this podcast.
Thank you so much. So my first question for you is, tell us a bit about your career path.
Yeah, so I went to Stanford for my undergrad and my master's, which I did both of in 4 years. And I concentrated in computer science for both. In my undergrad, my major was computer science and my concentration was in AI. And for my master's, my major was also in computer science and my concentration was in HCI, which is human computer interaction. Going to Stanford for these two degrees in tech. Prior to college, I didn't realize how important technology was, because I feel like the scene in New Hampshire, or like the small town I was from New Hampshire, like I guess technology was not a big thing there. But moving to Silicon Valley was just like a huge game changer. And I think it made me realize how valuable of a skill learning how to code is, because like for a lot of students that come from maybe like backgrounds that are underserved or underrepresented, like having computer science as a skill is just like such an incredible way to like accelerate a career, because of just how many opportunities there are in computer science and how many like the limitless ways you can like change the world through technology. Being in the Bay Area, like it gave me just like so much exposure to like the incredible ways that technology is used to better the lives of different people. And that's that like educational like foundation was ultimately what kind of led me to pursuing doing a tech nonprofit as my first full-time career. So Yeah, that's a little bit about my educational background.
No, I mean, I love that because you kind of came from a place where technology wasn't really widespread. Then you moved to, the Silicon Valley, technology is everywhere. And I really love what you said about the power of coding. Being able to understand a language like any, Java or Python is something that can really be a game changer because there are so many opportunities that you can be a part of because technology right now is evolving so much. Like, it's really crazy. Enroll in that course online and just figure out the basics of learning how to code because you'll definitely get a lot more opportunities that way.
Absolutely.
All right. And my question for you is, what advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours? And do you have any tips to succeed?
Great question. I guess if we were to think about, so I guess my career is in a fairly niche space. It's kind of in the intersection of technology and the nonprofit and social sector. And we ourselves, like Develop for Good itself, is a 501c3 nonprofit. I think definitely building up a really strong technical foundation is super important because if whether like for us, like we deal with on like a day-to-day, we deal with like a lot of pretty deep technological like coding software issues and problems. And I guess like having that really solid background definitely helps, I guess, with like tackling these problems as opposed to if you came from a non-technical background. Although it's still possible to make a lot of impact in other roles that are non-technical, even in the tech nonprofit space. But I think if there are any future tech nonprofit founders, like I think having a deep technology background is pretty important. I think also having a lot of exposure to nonprofits and what they do and the different challenges that they face is also really important. So I guess like I actually started my first nonprofit back in like the very end of middle school, the beginning of high school, where it was definitely not a scalable tech nonprofit. It was very much like a one man, like I baked cakes and sold cakes to I guess like support charities. And I guess this initial exposure to like nonprofit work and like kind of what it's like what the different like constraints are, what the I guess like what the kind of like vibe and just like running a nonprofit yourself is definitely really important and can give you just like a lot of background. And I guess also being able to talk to a lot of people like for us, nonprofits are also our customers. So it required like a lot of interviews and conversations and chats with a lot of nonprofit leaders at different organizations to fully understand like the unique sets of challenges that nonprofits in different spaces are facing. So I think just like, yeah, I guess like as an overall summary, if you're interested in pursuing like or starting a tech nonprofit, like having that technical background and having a general understanding of the space is also very important.
Yeah, no, I love that. There are two things that you just said that were really amazing and really touched me. But one of them was, you don't always have to have a technical background or a technical role to do great things. Like, sure, technology is like the big hotspot, but you could always merge it with something else. Like, that's what I always say. Like, if you're interested in, working in nonprofits or if you're interested in the humanities, you don't always have to box yourself in a hole, like pigeonhole yourself into technology because you might think that's where everyone's going to. But you can actually marry those two interests together and kind of build a bigger impact than just, narrowing your scope down to one type of field. And also, I really loved what you did when you were in sixth grade, baking cakes and, getting those funds and giving it to other charities. Like, that was kind of your first time getting into the waters of nonprofiting, and, helping other people, thrive. And I think that's something really important to do because we don't always learn this in school. So taking it on your own account and building your experiences for whatever you want to do is something that you should definitely try out. And don't be afraid from the results you'll get because at least you'll learn something along the way.
Absolutely. That's beautifully summarized. Yeah.
Okay, and my question for you is, what is a common myth about your profession that you want to debunk?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of misconceptions about the nonprofit world. I think a lot of people view nonprofit work or volunteer work as like a sacrifice of like something that they could be utilizing their resources to doing that's like better. Like, I think a lot of people think of donating as like sacrificing their money or volunteering as like sacrificing their time, like giving up a weekend or giving up their free time. But I actually think that like what I've been really pushing for, and I think what Develop for Good is all about, is that like I think doing good for the world is really a two-way street. And that's how people should really be thinking about it. Like the students at Develop for Good and the mentors at Develop for Good, although they do spend a lot of time like volunteering to serve nonprofits by coding or designing or I guess like doing like data projects or whatever, like they're also in return getting a lot of really valuable hands-on project experience. And this experience is critical for pursuing whatever career that they want in tech. Like just like having proof that you can that you're able to like work on projects that have real impact is so valuable for the people that are also volunteering. And that's really why I think that's like a big thing that attracts a lot of people to Develop for Good, and why we've been able to serve almost 2,000 or engage almost 2,000 like skilled volunteers. It's because they, I guess, like in addition to wanting to like help other people through their skills, they're also refining their skills in return. And it's really just like a positive two-way street. And I think that's how people should be viewing nonprofit work and helping other people in general. Like it shouldn't be seen as like a thing that you kind of are doing begrudgingly or kind of reluctantly or being like, or doing like very sparingly. It should be something that you see as like an opportunity to help. Like once you find out like what you're good at and ways that you can use what you're good at to help other people, it should be seen as an opportunity to be able to utilize something that you are blessed with and spread that happiness that you get from it to other people. So, I think that if other people or if the world viewed social impact work or nonprofit work, like in this way, like there would be a really, like the world would look really different. And I think a lot of people are already starting to think differently in this way. And I guess my goal, like as a very, as like a larger message, that I'm hoping that Develop for Good can spread, is that anyone, whether it's in technology or really any other field, can make a difference in the world through their passions. So.
I love that. I mean, as students, like I'm a student myself, we kind of are narrowed down to what we learn in the textbooks, and we aren't able to have like a practical impact on our communities. But, nonprofits are the best type of stepping stones, in my opinion, to kind of dive into being more carefree and learning more about your community through an actual real world application. And it's not something that we're kind of taught to do. So it's really not sacrificing your hours. I think that's a big misconception. People think that if you volunteer, you have to give up some of your social life and the things that you enjoy. But that's totally a myth, because you can get so many more opportunities and networks from these types of nonprofits that might be in your communities.
Exactly.
All right. And my question for you is, if you could step into my shoes or younger self, what would you have asked yourself that I didn't?
Yeah, I guess I would have asked like my current self, like what like challenges I guess will you meet along the way? Because I think there's like a lot that goes behind the scenes that is not really highlighted or is not really known for a lot of startups or like tech nonprofit startups or nonprofits to get them to a point where they're kind of like in like a place that's like pretty self-sustainable and that there's like a lot of traction. I think when people think of like nonprofits that, or like organizations that are like at that stage, they don't really think about like what the many things that it took to kind of like get there. And yeah, I think like whatever like organization you're starting at yourself, whether it's a for-profit startup or a nonprofit startup, there's like a lot of like there's a lot of like mental hurdles that you have to go through of like things of like, is this like the right idea for what I like, is this the right idea? Am I being stupid? Like, you also, I think every startup founder has also encountered a lot of no's and like rejections or like not interested. And I would tell my younger self that those rejections and those hurdles are gonna hurt a lot. And they're gonna make you feel really discouraged and very sad. But it's always like, but if you are fully convicted in what you're doing and you know that it's impacting real people in ways that are super like important and significant, then all of those rejections and hurdles and challenges and like losses are totally worth it. For like this, like the, I guess like for the eventual things that will work, will end up working out if you stay committed and fully convicted. And I think it's really like when you think of grit, like it's like I think like the main determinator of like how successful someone or something ends up being is like not really how like intelligent you are or like how yeah, like none of like I guess like any like indicators of intelligence, and more is just like it's more of a thing of just like perseverance and commitment of like being willing to, I guess like if you do run into challenges, being able to like get up from them and like try another angle or try again. And I think that, and Developer Good has evolved in many ways since we first started, and it's a result of like processing different feedback, points of feedback, and seeing what ways that we can make the most impact possible, and what changes have to be made within the organization to be able to make the most impact possible. So I guess like long answer short, I would tell, or I would tell like anyone, I guess like that's younger or just thinking about different careers, like you're gonna run into tough things. And I think there's this quote that I really liked where it's like, if you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough. Like if you're like succeeding in every single thing you're doing, then you're like you're not pushing yourself hard enough. And you should really embrace hurdles that you come across, because that is a sign that you are pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. And that's the spot that you should always be striving to be. So.
I mean, absolutely. As your goals kind of change, and if you're interested in creating new organizations or things around those realms, you're obviously going to handle a bunch of rejections and people who aren't interested in your same mission. But one thing that's kind of like, but it's, as you start your journey and you get your first rejection or someone who really doesn't care about what you're doing, it's going to hurt a lot and you're going to feel really belittled. But just know that there might be hundreds of other rejections and it's okay until you get that one yes or that one person who's really interested in your type of organization. And from there, you're going to lead a bunch of successes. And it's okay if you get no's along the way. I mean, I've had a count list of people who've said no to me, but I keep on going. It's okay, they might be too busy with their lives, but just know that there are definitely going to be people out there who might not want to have the same mission as you, but just know that it's okay. You'll find your tribe and you will move on, and you'll be able to do whatever you want to do with the right time and with the right people.
Absolutely.
All right, and what are the best resources slash books that have helped you find your career path?
Honestly, the best resources are people, other experts in the fields of technology or the nonprofit worlds. I think people underestimate how willing other people are to help. Like, sure, you're gonna meet some people who ignore your emails or like just don't have time, as you just described, because I think for every person who is starting something and reaching out to people to be involved or to ask or to just like participate in, I think it's inevitable that you're going to get some people that just don't aren't in the right place in life to be able to play that role. But there's also so many people that I think, especially people who have probably been helped out a lot by other like mentors or figures in their lives, like they're really eager to pass that down to someone that they kind of see themselves in the roles of, like in their previous in their previous life or their previous stage of life. And there's also a lot of people who are just really compassionate and if they love like your mission, they're willing to help. And for me, like there's so many people, like incredible people in technology that have been willing and eager to like give me advice on like an ad hoc basis about different ways to lead the organization or lead it better, who have helped us out by like contributing to our core product and content, who have helped with like hiring and recruiting within our organization, and who are really passionate about students in STEM and are eager to like interact directly with the students that are part of Develop for Good and just like volunteer their time to like be a resource to them. And I think just like I've also had a lot of wonderful like nonprofit experts that have helped give me advice on how to start a nonprofit and lead like a self-sustaining nonprofit as well. And I think like the best decision I ever made was kind of getting over the fear of just like being turned down or ignored to like reach out to people that I think I could really, really learn from. And those people have been just like the most amazing resources and assets. And there's no way Develop for Good would be where it is today without the help of like the mentors and advisors that have personally supported me in the organization. So I think just like in terms of resources, like identifying people that you think would be knowledgeable and what you want to learn, and then just reaching out, I think is the best strategy for learning very quickly.
Yeah, and honestly, you can learn from anyone around you. Like maybe that rejection could teach you a lot about, you know, your skills and, you know, marketing people. Like maybe your pitch wasn't the best in those 300 characters you're allowed to say in LinkedIn, or things like that that don't really get other people's eyes out for you. But that's okay, because you kind of learn a lot of things along the way of, you know, pitching to people, talking to others. And you know what's honestly the worst thing that happens? Sure, you might be left on read, you might get ghosted, you know, people might not want to learn more about you. But what if they kind of reach out, and what if they accept your message? What if they look at your website? What if they spread the word? Don't be afraid of reaching out, because you know there's always going to be something on the other end that could really help you and could really uplift your journey.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what do you think is a vital factor that shaped your career? What was your life before learning it, and what was your life after learning it?
A vital factor that shaped my career. I think, yeah, I guess learning computer science in college was like a huge thing. Because again, like I think just being in the Bay Area and being in an era where technology is like kind of seen as like the current and next big thing, like I think that made me realize a huge potential that utilizing tech and combining it with like your things that you care about, and I guess like creativity, it can just go like so far. I think another thing that shaped my career or my career decision quite significantly is also again my relationship to the nonprofit sector. In addition to starting my own nonprofit back as a teenager, I guess in my very early childhood, my family and I were also supported by nonprofits. And I think just like as I grew older and became older, I kind of realized just how pivotal that support was to getting, I think, to getting me where I am now, or even getting to like to college. And I think like knowing how big of a role and how important that was for, I guess, like my own family and my own like trajectory in life, I think that made me realize just like how important nonprofits are to just so many vulnerable communities in the US and around the world. And I think like the dual impact that Develop for Good has on just not only students that are trying to pursue their careers in tech, but also nonprofits that can really use like this like accessible tech help to help the thousands and hundreds of thousands of other people that they support through their own programs. Like I think that this like dual impact structure was like honestly two of the most important things that I cared about, and it was kind of like the perfect kind of marketplace, I feel like, for me to work on, because it really impacted like I guess like two communities that I think like rising technological talent and nonprofits that I think have the most potential to impact the world through technology. So I think like those two vital things, like I guess my own interest in technology and my own interest in nonprofits were really two very important factors that got me to working on this very niche space that I'm working on now.
I absolutely love that. I mean, you kind of took an experience from your own childhood and you were able to kind of leverage that and make something positive for other people around, you know, the world to be a part of. You know, Develop for Good is so amazing. I love it. You've had such an amazing impact on people. And I think that your mission is truly aligned with, you know, who you are. And I think you're going to do great things.
Thank you so much, Arna.
Well, I think that wraps up the interview. So thank you so much, Mary, for being on this call with me. And before we end off, do you have any last words to the audience?
Yeah, I guess like, well, first of all, Arna, thank you so much again for having me on this podcast. I think what you're doing is amazing. And I think representation in the tech industry is so important. So it's really incredible that you're bringing in women from different technological like professions or STEM professions to kind of talk about their experience and take a deep dive into that. And I think if I was a middle schooler or a high schooler and I was able to get a glimpse into all of these professions, that would have really impacted, I think, my trajectory and maybe gotten me into STEM even earlier. And so I think what you're doing is super, super impactful. And I really feel honored to be a guest on your podcast. I guess to just like whoever is listening, like, I guess if you identify like what you care about and are committed to solving problems in those spaces, and I guess if you like really invest in like learning or like something in STEM or whatever it is that you feel like your skills are best suited for, you have so much potential to change so many lives if you're really committed to it. And I hope that like my experience has been, I guess like the insight into my experience has been at least like a little bit helpful for whatever career that you're hoping to pursue. And yeah, thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Mary. I absolutely love talking to you. And I know the audience is as well. Thank you so much. And I hope you have the best rest of your day.
Thank you, Arna. You too.
And here are my 3 cents on this episode with Mary. 1, resilience and growth. Being okay with failure teaches resilience. It helps individuals understand that setbacks are a part of life and can be valuable learning experiences. Embracing failure can lead to personal growth, fostering the ability to adapt, learn from mistakes, and develop new strategies. Understanding the value of volunteering. 2, learning that volunteering is a good idea demonstrates the significance of contributing to one's community or causes without expecting anything in return. Through volunteering, individuals can learn empathy, gain new skills, expand their network, and derive a sense of fulfillment by making a positive impact. 3, building and utilizing connections. Learning how to rely on connections emphasizes the importance of networking and building relationships. It's not just about who you know, but also about nurturing those connections and knowing when and how to leverage them. Understanding this skill can open up opportunities, provide support, and offer valuable insights and resources when needed. Thus, that concludes the episode for this week. If you want to know more about how I relate to these amazing topics, then stay tuned for upcoming episodes. A free way to support this show is by leaving it a 5-star rating and a review on the player you are listening to. Let me know what you enjoy about this podcast, as it's a chance to tell me what you love about the show, and it helps others discover it too. Once again, thank you for finding me, and I hope we stay in touch with each other. Zito, you're listening to Arna Sahu, the host of Arna's News. Toodles!